Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
And welcome. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Seek Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
All right. Thanks, guys. We appreciate you joining us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, John's off this week. He'll be back next week. We'll say a prayer for them, keeping your thoughts as they're traveling, and hopefully they'll be safe there and back. Guys, we're here. We're here for a little home improvement, but let's take advantage of we've got our HVAC guys in, and they're going to answer any questions you might have about your air conditioning or the upcoming heating season. So we want to get on board with that and take advantage. I've got a question that was sent. I've been kind of holding it for a little over a week from Patricia. So we'll get to that in a few seconds. I wanted to see what was going on in you guys' world out there as far as business and how busy things are. I know we're getting ready to be in the tweener season where we're not really using AC. I mean, we still are, but it's not. I can certainly tell it's not running as much. And then probably a month or so away from people starting to turn their furnaces on. Maybe a little longer than that, but just depends, I guess, on how thin your blood is. But what are you guys seeing out there right now?
Well, we still see a lot of no cooling and not enough cooling calls. You know, some people think the summer's over, and it's not. We get a lot of high 90-degree days in September and even October.
Right.
Heck, we had no cooling calls last year around Christmas. The weather in Charlotte is it's hard to predict. Yeah,
no doubt. Well, I used to have a neighbor that ran his air conditioning all year, but they had about four dogs in the house, so I think mm-hmm. that was the difference. But it's kind of a blessing, that's for sure. The only reason I like cold weather is to kill the mosquitoes.
Yeah, and on the residential side, it's true that, you know, maybe not, but you get into the commercial, the offices especially, they have no windows. There are windows, but they're non-operable. And with all the body heat from all the employees and the lights.
And the equipment.
And the equipment, all the computers and everything else. You need cooling way past this time.
Sure, absolutely. Now, Patricia had sent us in a note, and I'm hoping that she's up and listening. But her question was about her house was built in 2009, but the unit was installed in 2007. So I'm assuming it was sitting, and it was. She says it was a new home for her. She was the first owner, and she gives the square footage and all that. But she's noticing that a lot of her neighbors that moved in at the same time are starting to change out their, having to change out their ACs and furnaces. And she was wanting to know, she has a Lennox system, and she said the last one that she had when she lived in New York was 20 years worth. So it lasted her a pretty good while, and she was wondering if she should start thinking about changing this thing out now since her neighbors are. And she's kind of torn, I guess, because her last one lasted 20 years, but what about this one? And I'm thinking, yeah, this is a different climate, right?
Well different qualities built today. Go ahead.
Yeah, the units today are not built like the old units were 20 years ago or 30 years ago. The material, if it's a furnace, the steel that they were using on the heat exchangers was a lot thicker because they were not worried so much about energy efficiency. Now they've got, with the energy efficiency, they have to keep thinning out the material so the heat transfers a little bit easier and get better efficiency on the furnaces.
Right.
So they don't last as long. Same thing with the copper. Copper, the wall, the thickness of the copper walls were a lot thicker, and they're not anymore. Plus, you know, so just like everything else, nothing's built like it used to.
There you go.
The life expectancy of a unit in this area is, you know, 13 to 15, pretty much max. So she's right in that. You know, if the unit was built in 2007, she said that 13-year level right there. Definitely, I would not wait for a breakdown and have to make a decision on a.
Yeah, and I think that's what her question is about. And then, of course, she wanted to call you guys, and she states that in her email that she listens and has faith and trust in you guys as she listens on a weekly basis. And so I guess and I'm going to just set this up because we're coming up on a break, but the second part of her question is that she understands that there's some shortages out there in some of the materials and some of the units, and there's some wait times involved. So I think that's what was prompting her also, is that she didn't want to get caught in December or January with a potential furnace breakdown that maybe was not repairable. So I commend her for that thinking anyway. So, let's do this. We're going to take a break, and we'll come back and we'll let you guys address that. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Maybe talk about some of the Freon. I've had some questions about that as well. In the meantime, folks, we're here to answer questions for you, home improvement and HVAC questions. Give us a call, 704-570-1110, and we'll be back with more home improvement right after this. And we are back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
All right, guys. Thanks again. We appreciate you being on this morning. Lines are open, folks. 704-570-1110. Answering home improvement questions. We'd love to help you out. A little emphasis on the heating and air conditioning, probably a little more on the air conditioning still, but heating season is around the corner, so I think it's time to start getting into those services and making sure that your furnace is in pretty good shape. Don't forget that. Don't wait till the last minute so that that you're in the cold. That would be bad. Before the break, guys, we were talking about Patricia's question, and the second part of her question was, Is the equipment available today? She's hearing different things, and I think you guys know better than most. What's going on with the equipment? I know lots of things are in short supply. So,
all right. Ricky, want to take that one?
Yeah, I was going to say the better equipment, which is what a lot of our customers are accustomed to, is it could be anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks out. So, I mean, if too long, you're going to end up with probably something you really didn't want in the situation. So, I would say definitely being proactive would be best for you right now. Because, I mean, this is a long-term investment. You don't want to make a short-term investment by buying some builder grade, because that's all that's available, unless that's what you want. I mean, if you have a long-term investment in that house, and you're having to buy a lot lesser of a product because that's all that's available, then you're not really going to be happy, you know?
Right, and you're losing out on efficiency and all that, so it kind of cuts you both ways. So that was kind of what my understanding of all of it was too. And I guess what they're doing with limited resources and employees is they are trying to feed the bigger monster, which I guess is builders, right?
Exactly. Well, I mean, that's the basic equipment. So it can get you through. But, you know, a lot of customers, they want the better things, the variable speed, the communicating, the multiple stage air conditioners. And none of that's really available right now.
Right. I've got it in my house now. And if I was going to have to move to a new house or build again, which is probably not going to happen, but I had enough of that. But if I was going to do it, and I was needing a system, knowing what I know today with the systems that I have, I would be wanting to wait for that equipment as well. Just unbelievable how quiet, how energy efficient, how comfortable the house is. I know Scott and Zeke have told us for years, Rick, about the variable speed equipment and how you can zero that stuff in to control humidity. And I you never realize it until you live with it. And then once you have that equipment at your fingertips, man, I'll never go back to standard equipment again. It's amazing,
man.
That's
the key to comfort.
Yeah, it really is about comfort and you know, you would think with the systems running like they do, that your energy bill, every time I walk by it and I see it, I'm thinking, you know, it's running, but it's just barely moving. It's creating comfort in that house, taking out humidity, and it's just worth it. I encourage folks to learn a little bit more, study up on that, ask questions about those particular things, and have a little better understanding of why you would spend a little bit more money to purchase such a system. They are well worth it. I promise you that.
Absolutely, especially in the South.
Oh yeah,
fighting humidity and not really so much heat.
Right.
So that's the ticket to getting the house comfortable.
It is, and of course, and the same with the multi-stage furnace that we have. Our gas bills are just about nil in the wintertime. So it was. You know, we did do a little bit more work on insulation and air sealing and all those types of things before I built that house. I used to tease that our goal was to heat it with a candle and cool it with an ice cube, and we didn't quite succeed with that, but we're real close. Let me tell you, it's with that equipment in mind and using that equipment and the right insulation makes all the difference in the world. That's for sure.
Absolutely.
So I think the third part of Patricia's question, and this was in no particular order, she wanted to know what kinds of questions should she be asking to the two contractors that she's going to probably have out to look at her system for replacement. Can you guys give us? I know I'm putting you right on the spot, and it's quick, but what are some questions that people should be thinking about asking?
Well, I make sure that it's a licensed contractor for one. There's a lot of the service companies out there that they're really just service and do not even have a license to install. So you got to make sure that they're a licensed installation contractor, and the company that comes out there that do a heat load, heat gain to size the unit for your house, not just if you got a 3-ton unit, put another 3-ton unit in. Things have changed. You might have insulated. The trees have grown, and now you got a shaded house.
Right.
You don't have all that sun load. So
maybe a lighter colored roof. Sorts of things can change that number, right?
Change windows, change attic insulation. There's so many things that have happened to houses. You know, even with Patricia, that is, you know, 2009, she could have done some improvements to the house, and you know, since she moved in. So we never know. And then it's not so much asking questions of the contractor, but also tell them what you want. Tell them what issues you have. You have the temperature difference between one room and the other, draftiness, you got allergies, you know, you want to
sure
control because we want to design a system for you, for that house, and then for you living in the house, because people, you know, are different, and they got different habits that they want to accomplish.
Right. Well, and including,
right.
Go ahead, Rick.
I was going to say, you know, this is the time to make the repairs necessary in your comfort level, not just repair a system or replace a system and have what you have before. So if you have hot spots, cold spots, or high humidity, now's the time to go ahead and make those adjustments and get that house comfortable. It's not just replacement of, you know, a problem with a problem or something that was inadequate or not very comfortable. Now's the time to go ahead and get that system that's your whole house is comfortable and you're exactly where you want to be with that.
Right. And so also, I guess people should ask about duct work and make sure that their duct work is in good shape. Is it leaking? Do you have condensation on your vents or spots on your ceiling? You know, what about, is it dusty? You know, which can indicate that the returns maybe aren't connected. And then I think too, asking about a central filter at the unit itself and get rid of those. If you got two or three returns in your house, and you have three filters you're having to change every month, you know, why not get one that sits at the furnace, is right at the furnace. If it's easy enough to change for yourself, or that encourages you to do your 6 month or yearly checkups and get that furnace filter changed, because if you don't have a bunch of pets in the house, they'll last well over a year, right?
Well, we kind of recommend changing them out. Yeah. Go ahead, Zeke.
A lot of them, it's a year. Depends if you got pets or the returns are down low on the floor and you got hardwood floors, the dust from the hardwood and stuff. You might end up have to do it twice a year.
But right.
In most cases, once a year is adequate.
Sure. That encourages you to get someone out and check the system. And I know we're going to come up on a break, but that's some of the things that we'll talk about when we come back as well, is having those checkups, especially when you start purchasing these variable speed units and these systems that run at higher pressures. It's pretty important to make sure that everything's clean and working properly, because it can be an expensive catastrophe for sure if you don't maintain. And I think that's important. Okay, well, with that said, we are coming up on a break. So, hey, lines are open. Give us a call, 704-570-1110. Talking some home improvement, talking some air conditioning, heating, ventilating. That V part in there is part of the HVAC contractor's job. So we'll talk a little bit about that as well. We'll be right back, folks.
One charge.
Welcome back. It's Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Good morning, guys. Glad you joined us. We really do appreciate that. We were talking a little bit about filters. I just want to make sure that we covered that. If you switch to a filter that's on the furnace, so they're thicker, right? Like 4 or 5 inches thick.
Correct. Yeah, they're 4 or 5 depending on the brand, but they're usually like an accordion type filter, so it got a lot more surface, and that's where they last 6 months to a year.
Okay, and so we would want to make sure that we had somebody servicing the furnace, because that's one of those things that become out of sight, out of mind. So you'd want to make sure that you're on at least an annual program, if not every 6 months. And I think you guys said it as well, as if you have a couple of pets, cats, dogs roaming the house, filters or returns that are low. You would want to make sure that at least the first 6 months you had that checked, and just kind of see where you're at, and make sure
Absolutely.
That's not going to be a semi-annual rather than annual filter change. But we had that option installed with our system as well, and we really like it. We still have dust bunnies around the house, and we have all solid floors. We only have carpet on the stairs, and I tell people a lot of times that's where a lot of dust comes from. Is from the carpet, but as we're finding out, that's not the only place it comes from. We don't know where it comes from, because
lot of it is just your clothes,
exactly.
The furniture, if you got any cloth furniture, sure. All of that, you know, you get a lot of dust from that.
Even area rugs before, and things like that still
yeah,
shed.
Yeah, right. You know, if you think about it, just your towels, every time use it, every time it gets shaken or whatever, you get dust off or linen, lint off of.
Right.
Also keep in mind, most of your dust is actually coming from you. I mean, you're shedding too.
Right, exactly.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Continually.
Yeah.
I could guarantee it.
With the hardwood floors, there's no place for it to hide like the carpet. So it keeps getting lifted up if you don't have a good filtration system and keep, moving to different parts of the house.
Well,
time you're walking through the hardwoods, you're moving it again.
Well, that, and I think too, what I notice is the, as the dust bunnies roll, they look like the tumbleweeds sometimes, not quite that big. I'm just kidding, Gina. But I noticed that they follow along in the walls of baseboards, but they tend to move towards the returns, which tells me that they are working for sure. So and at least they're out in the open. Of course, they're it gets in many other places as well. But you stay after it. It's not a big deal. But I do know that our house is not as dusty as when we had carpeting. I know the townhouse that we moved from. The upstairs was fully carpeted with carpet up the stairs. Was much dustier in the upstairs than it was downstairs. But we did have dust in the lower level, just not as much with the hardwoods. So
we have all hardwoods in our house and a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
And a Rottweiler is notorious for being the most shedding dog out there. So no matter how good we do it or how neat we keep the house, there's going to be a tumbleweed here or there every once in a while.
Exactly.
But,
exactly.
Yep.
Well, so that I think makes people feel better that they are that they're not the only ones, and no matter how clean you keep your house, it's just part of it. That's why it becomes a weekly or a daily thing, depending. If you have a lot of pets, I'm sure it's daily.
Right.
So that's just part of life, I guess. One of the other things that I wanted to talk about. Go ahead,
Dave. I want to go back to Patricia when she said what questions to ask the contractors.
Sure.
And I want to clarify something about the everybody or all manufacturers say 10-year parts warranty, and people hear 10-year parts or 10-year warranty. They don't hear the part about parts.
Parts only, right?
It's test parts only. And to get the thing, they only come with a 5-year warranty. The either the contractor or the homeowner has to register it with the manufacturer to be able to even get the 10-year parts. So if it doesn't, especially on new construction, because they don't know who the owners are when they put the unit in, the homeowner has to register it or it'll only be 5 years. Even on replacement, some contractors just leave it up to the homeowner. We do it ourselves. We want to make sure this has the 10-year parts warranty, and we register the equipment with the manufacturer, so it will have the 10 years. But there's another thing about that. But is that is to the 10 years is to the original homeowner. If you sell that house, it goes back to 5.
Right.
So, and it does not cover labor. Now, in a lot of cases, we're offering, right now we're offering a 10-year parts and labor. So we're not only registering the equipment with the manufacturer, we're also registering with the warranty company that covers both parts and labor. But you to maintain that parts and labor warranty in effect, you have to have the system maintained on a yearly basis.
Sure, which would only make sense.
Right. The same thing.
But the good thing is that's also transferable.
Those are transferable.
Those are
right.
Transferable.
Wow.
There's usually like a $25 fee originated with it, but there's some little things that people don't, it's transferable, but it has to be transferred within 90 days change on the house. So
sure.
if you're buying a house, you need to find out from the original homeowner if it does have the warranty, and you can, you know, make sure you get it registered in your name.
That's smart. And I guess the other thing is just to make sure that if you purchase that warranty, the extra warranty, or if that comes with it automatically, then the seller needs to make sure that they mention that to the potential buyers, because it can be a great selling feature. With that said, we're going to have to take a break because we're a little bit past our break. So let's do that, and then we're going to come back and we'll talk a little bit more about that and some ventilation. We'll be right back, folks. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I am Seeker Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
Awful quiet out there. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. Take advantage. Give these guys a call. Any home improvement questions, but take advantage of their knowledge today and get those questions answered. HVAC... I think we got everything covered. We're good with the warranty. I think we said that if you have this warranty and you're selling, make sure that you include that as a selling feature with the house. I'm not sure how much it matters right now, but I it would matter to me if I was buying a house. So I think that's kind of important for folks to know. So nothing like a warranty, that's for sure. So kind of we hit on this all the time when we say HVAC questions, and people know what the H and the AC is, but the V is for ventilation. And I think we kind of we do talk about ventilation often on the show, but I'm not sure that folks really know that that's really that falls under the heating and air conditioning contractor's license, correct?
That's correct.
So you really should have, if you're having problems with your dryer duct, or if you need it inspected, now they could be cleaned by another company, and hopefully they would alert you if there was a problem with the dryer duct. But the same with the ventilation, you know, you might want to have them check that while they're at the house. You know, a sagging duct can hold moisture and water, can cause a leak in the attic. Maybe the fan's not working properly, or maybe it sounds like a helicopter. But they could be changed out, right? There's lots of options for that, those products, right?
Well, one of my favorite things about ventilation, though, is your solar attic fans. I mean, removing the heat from the attic will greatly reduce the load on the upstairs of your house. So a lot of people have these old electric fans that have kicked the bucket, or they didn't have the power right and were disabled for some reason. And the solar fan doesn't require power because it has a solar collector on top. So, I mean, you bought it and it's instantly paying for itself by, you know, collecting the power from the sun and then taking the heat out of your attic.
Right.
And that takes a heck of a load off of it in the summertime when your air conditioner is already maybe struggling.
Sure. It's ironic, isn't it? The heat causes the problem, and then the sun causes the problem, and then the sun takes away the heat. Pretty
Absolutely.
Good.
Absolutely.
Pretty good stuff. Mm-hmm. So and attic ventilation is important, there's no doubt, and it plays a huge part in not only keeping you comfortable, but it can save you some energy by not allowing or forcing the unit to run as much. Remember, once the heat builds up in the attic, it starts to move down into the living space when there's no place for it to go, when it gets so hot and it can only move so much air out. So you want to make sure that you're paying attention to that. And then I think the other ventilation, so we could kind of go through them one by one. So we talked about the attic. Then there's the dryer, which is pretty important, and I think it's probably one of the more neglected pieces of equipment in the house as far as the vent on it.
Yes, if properly done, could cause a house fire.
Absolutely, it causes. I forget the number, but a lot. There is a lot of house fires every year caused from dryers that are so backed up with lint You know, maybe the hose is just crimped behind the dryer because it's a flexible hose, or you know, maybe it's just never been cleaned out, or the damper's closed because there's a big wasp nest up underneath the hood that won't allow the damper to open. So I think it's worth having those inspected, and then at least you guys could take a peek at them when you're there. I mean, it may be an extra charge while these guys are out, but at least they can follow the duct work and make sure it's not sagging, make sure the damper's working properly, and that all the connections are made, because I've seen a ton of damage in crawl spaces from that hot humid air just being dumped in the crawl space. It'll destroy the wood. The wood will absorb all that moisture, and it's bad. Is this something that you guys have seen very often?
Quite a bit, yes.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, I have people say, well, we never had a problem with our dryer before. I'm like, well, yeah, there was no resistance whatsoever because it was dumping into the crawl space. But guess what? Now we got to hold your house up because we have to replace all the joists. It can get ugly quick.
And if they're pushing the dryer button 3 or 4 times to get the dryer to dry the clothes, that's a pretty good sign that something needs to be done.
There you go.
On top of which, you're spending an awful lot of money running that dryer. So
sure.
I mean, it'll definitely pay for itself to get it cleaned out, fixed, even replaced sometimes, because some of the material they used back in, you know, the old days or the new construction period may not be as good. Like hard pipe run from end to end will definitely outlast the flexible pipe that you see on a lot of these dryer vents today.
Sure. And a lot of times that flex is done because it's dried out, especially if it's going through the attic or it's not supported, so you have sags in it now, and it gets worse because the water will build up in those sags, and then the lint will stick in that area, and you basically have a clogged artery, right?
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. And then I think the other part of the dryer ducts is if it's running the attic, even if it's metal, as you said, Rick, the metal will last a long time, but a lot of times the connections are not very good because they used an inferior duct tape, which now you guys are using, a foil tape, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And you know, it used to not be checked, but, you know, a lot of times they just screw it together and
right. The
screws, the lint was attached to it, and it just keeps making, you know, blocking it and blocking it. By code, you're not supposed to use any screws.
Exactly.
To keep that from happening. But, you know, if it gets replaced after the house was built, nobody checks that. Or if it was built, you know, a long time ago before the inspectors were checking it, it could have screws on that pipe.
Yeah, that's
not good.
You
don't want any screws.
No, it just collects everything. Sorry, I lost y'all guys for a minute.
Oh, no worries. We're still here. But and then I think the other thing is the support. So whether it be in the attic or the crawl space, there's certain lengths that you're allowed to run it that it would have to have a strap. So it needs to be strapped properly. And then also, I think last but not least is the length of the of a 4-inch dryer duct. You can't go too far, right?
Absolutely.
It's max of 40 feet, but then you got to account for the elbows. Each elbow has to calculate the elbows, because that's additional length that to be added to it. So it's not just straight 40 feet from the dryer to the outside wall.
Exactly. So that's right. That's worth having. Just have them include that on your next inspection. It'll cost a little bit, but it's probably worth it. Once you know and it's in good shape, or if it has to be replaced, you'd be good for many, many years. And then I think all you have to worry about is just an annual cleaning of the dryer duct. And if it's short enough, it is something you can do yourself. They make little kits that have a brush and that's a fiberglass stick with a brush on the end of it, and you can attach them together, put them on your battery drill. Just follow the directions and make sure you read them, because you don't want to lose a brush inside the ductwork. We've got Nathan on the line, but Nathan, we're only about 40 seconds away from having to take a break, so we want to do you some justice. So hope you'll hang tight, because he wants to talk about an AC line that's in the second story of a house. And I think that might be worth talking about. There's some other things we can talk with about that as well. You guys, listen, we're here, 704-570-1110, talking home improvement. We've got our HVAC contractors in today, so take advantage of that. Get your calls ready. In the meanwhile, we're going to take a break, and we hope you'll stay tuned, and we'll be back with more of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
See, we lead local. I'm Mike Doan, WBT News.
Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WBT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WBT.
Welcome back. It's the second hour of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Dolville.
I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
Thanks for joining us, guys. We appreciate it. Again, John's off this week. He'll be back next week. Say a quick prayer for him for safe travels for he and Barb there and back. And hopefully they'll be back next week to join us. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. Give us a call. Might as well get your questions answered while we're here. So let's do that. Right now, Nathan has been patiently waiting. Nathan, how can we help?
Good morning, guys. So, two-story house, furnaces in the attic, and I had a new roof put on my house 2 years ago. And the roofer, unfortunately, shot some nails through my refrigerant line. And so my question is there any code, North Carolina code, that specifies how the refrigerant line should be run into the attic?
Not really, not to fix the problem that you had, but they shouldn't be running along the roof line itself. I have seen that happen before, and unfortunately it was in an area that was very hard to get to, too. Is the area where it's going, is it, can they get to it? Is it accessible?
It is accessible. I've since had the system replaced, because at the time I didn't realize that was the cause. I'm the original homeowner. It's a 20-year-old house. So I just, once the AC went out, I just had it replaced. And then during the replacement, my contract real lines were punctured with nails. And then, of course, you know, the roofer didn't claim any liability, saying that the line was not a code. But I hadn't seen anything in the code that says that the line, you know, was installed incorrectly. And then it did run, it ran along the roof line. So I didn't know that was against code or not.
Well, you really don't want to do that. There should be nail plates where there's 2x4s where you would expect nails, so that, you know, you would hit that metal and you'd know not to go through there. But if it kind of comes up and bows up and goes across the roof line, they should not have run it like that, but there's not a code that says they can't, unfortunately.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's a common sense thing.
Yes.
I guess you take the extra effort, and if it was going to be close to the roof line, I've seen this a handful of times. It seems to me like they would have slid a piece of metal between the roof decking and the Freon line where it bows up, because it's probably right where it comes up through the wall that it has to make that big sweeping turn, and they probably didn't have a lot of choice where it was run, but it seemed like it could have been protected. Did they leave it in the same place, Nathan?
No, the contractor, I guess, basically just sort of reinstalled it, and sort of it's lower on the roof line now.
Right.
At the time, it was basically, I guess, it was braced up with the strut, and it was right against the roof, essentially.
Yeah, what a shame. Yeah. So, but it's not the roofer's fault, because he couldn't possibly have known that was there. I don't know, Zeke.
No,
go ahead.
I've seen it where actually they have just long, very long nails, and even some too much pressure on the gun. And when they shot the nail, it went through the roof, and the whole nail came and, you know, came through and then hit the refrigerant line. So those are freak type things. But yeah, it should not be up against the plywood. It should be away from the roof deck a couple of inches, so that will not happen. But yeah, in some cases, when they, like Dave was saying, if you come up the wall and you got to turn it over to go to the furnace or the coil, indoor coil, it gets, they don't make a very sharp turn because they don't want to kink the line, but they just leave it right up against the roof line, and that's not a good place for it to be.
Right. So, right. Sorry, Nathan. Unfortunately, you kind of got hung out to dry on that one.
Yeah, yeah, it's kind of an ongoing issue, but I was just curious from a code standpoint what the code said about it, but it sounds like there's no code related to that.
No, just the code of common sense, and unfortunately nobody saw that or corrected it. So just, you know, in the future, and you did a good thing because maybe other people will pay attention to that. You know, go up in the attic, take a flashlight if you know the Freon line's coming up there. If it's up against the ceiling, alert your HVAC contractor, and they could slide a piece of metal – a substantial piece of metal over top of that and possibly keep that from being an issue for them.
Yeah. Nathan, I had a question. I had a question for you. Do you have a heat pump or a gas furnace upstairs?
It's a gas furnace.
Okay. My other concern is when they do a new roof, what we find a lot of times when they put the felt tape paper back down, they don't cut it away from the flue pipe itself, and it needs to have a 1-inch clearance all the way around that flue pipe. I would look, go up in the attic and look up where the flue pipe goes up through the roof and make sure that it does have that 1-inch clearance all the way around that flue pipe.
Right, and make sure they're connected.
Yeah.
Okay. That's the other thing. They knock them off often.
Yeah, and I did get a new furnace after the roof was installed, so I had everything was different for
okay.
a 20-year-old system. So I had to get a flue pipe was new and the furnace was new. So I believe the HVAC guys took care of that.
That's
good. That would have been taken care of then, and then also inspected when they do the new installation. So you should be okay.
Yes, sir. Okay, and you guys were talking about dryer vents. Is it practical to mine came loose from the wall, and it's upstairs on the second floor. Is it practical to replace that or repair that? Like, how would you repair that?
And you say what came loose? The flexible
the
pipe or
the wall going out?
Say that again, Nathan.
Yeah, the hard pipe that goes outside. So it came loose at the connection at the wall. It's just sort of kind of. Is loose there, and so I sort of peeled away the drywall years ago to see if I could better support it. But I'm concerned that it's sort of loose and kind of rattling inside the wall.
Sure.
And I didn't know if is that practical to replace.
Need to replace the end cap right there.
Yeah.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
I'm Seeker Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And Rick is doing something. He'll be right back with us. Let's get Don in here. Don, thanks for waiting, man. We appreciate it. Go ahead. What's your question?
Hey, how you guys doing? Appreciate you guys. You brought up home warranties before Jim did, and it's always been something I've been paying my home warranty company, never had to use them. So it's been something that I've been worried about. Are they going to come through when I need them? The reason I got the home warranty was basically for my HVAC system. And so Jim mentioned about maintenance. I've always used a private guy that comes in spring for my AC and fall for my heat, and I pay him cash. Are they gonna give me a hard time when it comes to having to replace that HVAC system?
Well, the home warranty is a double-edged sword, because yes, it does sound good at the front end. When they tell you they're going to, if it not repairable. They'll replace it. There's a lot of fine print on it. For one thing, I don't know of any reputable companies that actually work for home warranty companies. That nobody wants to do their work. They are very slow in paying the contractor, and they end up using usually somebody that does just service. And they're, you know, when you need it, it can be two, three days before they can get to it. And then the contractor has to get a PO from the home warranty company, and they might not approve it while he's there. So he has to leave, order the part, and then come back and do it. It's not been a very good experience with us. We do not work with any home warranty companies.
We do not either, and they do not usually get anything inspected either.
Right, and, you know, so, yeah, because like I was saying, they use people that are just basically repair people and not licensed contractors to make the replacement. So when they replace it, they don't get it permitted. And they, you know, they put on there, well, you know, it doesn't cover the electrical, it doesn't cover the permits, it does not cover the some of the refrigerant because of the changes in refrigerant. So if you have to replace the coil because it's you know, leaking, it's a lot of issues with the home warranty companies.
Well, so my system's 15 years old. I've been with this home warranty company. Can I say their name?
It'd probably be better if you didn't.
Okay, I won't. But I've been paying them $60 a month for the last four and a half years. And I understand about permits and inspections. I'm in Union County, so I could do that myself, right?
Sure.
No.
My big
no. The permits you cannot. You have to be. It has to be done by whoever is doing the installation.
A licensed contractor.
By a licensed contractor.
I can make sure that they do it, and if they need to charge me for whatever the permit cost is,
right,
that's not a big deal. My whole thing is, you know, $15,000 system being covered.
They will not do what's best for you. They're going to do what's best for them. They're going to try to get it in and out as cheap. You got to remember, you're dealing with an insurance company. So they're going to try to make the cheapest. And a lot of times they deny their claim. I see it all the time. And then if you have an R22 system, which if you're 15 years old is highly likely, they're going to neglect that claim. They're not going to take it because they're going to tell you that refrigerant is obsolete and it can't be gotten, which it can, but it's very expensive and it's not recommended. And of course, you can't replace any of that anymore. You're going to repair it and then make the replacement with the newer R410. But they will deny that claim, or they will make it very difficult on you.
And it won't be normally should be a $15,000 system, let's say. They'll end up finding somebody that'll do it for $6,000 or $7,000, and which means it's the lowest efficiency equipment that they can find. So you don't get a very good installation out of them.
So yesterday I went to a house.
Yeah. Home warranty companies are good for the small appliances. If you talk about a washer, dryer, refrigerator, stove,
an outlet,
those seems to be okay. When you start getting into major stuff like furnace, air conditioner, even water heater, it's a very it's just not cost effective.
So the $3,000 I've given them over the last 4 years, I just replaced my own water heater last time it went out. Went out last beginning of this year. I went to Lowe's. I went to Lowe's.
All right, you got to go now.
and bought my water heater and installed it myself.
That would have been the time to get them to, you know, to get something out of that money that you put in, because that would have been covered, and that would not have been too bad, a thing for the home warranty company to do. But
that's frustrating to hear this, because that, like I said, I'm thinking the opposite of what you're saying. I'm thinking I can handle the small stuff. It's the big stuff that I got it for. And from what you're telling me, it's not going to work out that way.
Right. Well, you said you have somebody doing it, your maintenance is an individual. Just call some of the companies in your area that are large or reputable companies and near you that do heating and air, and ask them, can you handle work for this particular home warranty company, and see what they tell you.
Okay.
Because I would say 90% of them are going to say, no, we do not.
Right.
There was a guy on TV, I won't mention it since this is a competing show, or what was it? The old Action 9 thing. And the gentleman said, take that money and put it in the bank so you can make the best decision for yourself, rather than letting an insurance company make that decision for you that you have to live with. Because that money would have worked out better in your account, and you could have made your own decision, not counting on the home warranty company to make that decision for you, which you probably will not be happy with.
Yeah, and that's exactly what the guy that comes by and does it on the side for me.
Right.
He said the same thing. He said, Don, you should have just put that money in the bank. When it comes time, you'd have pretty much almost the same money.
Sure.
Hey,
Don, I hate to cut you off, but we got to go to a break, man. We're going to take a break. Lines are open, 704-570-1110. We'll be right back with more home improvement. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm Dave Doval.
And I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
I'm Sleek Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
All right. Thanks for joining us, folks. Lines open, 704-570-1110. Let's get William, who's been patiently waiting. Hey, William, how can we help?
Yeah, good morning. Thanks
morning.
For taking this call. Got a window unit. It's a relatively small house I'm in. I have and the on and on switch on the refrigerator air conditioner is harder to cut on. I just thought maybe the guys on there might be able to tell me. I try to do stuff myself if I can, or hire somebody, how I could fix that.
It sounds just like I don't know that these guys service those. Those are more of appliances. They're probably capable of both of them of taking it apart and repairing it, but I don't know that that's what they do. I think you probably are going to be more in the appliance repair venue for that.
Yeah.
William, are you talking about, is that a push button or a knob
digital
that you turn?
It's a push button digital, and it's hard to, it'll come on, but it's getting harder to come on. I thought maybe the thermostat may be going bad in it, and I know those parts are probably hard to find, if they're even hard to find, order through the manufacturer.
Sure.
Probably going to be on the keyboard.
Yeah, probably through D&L, wouldn't you think?
Yeah
D&L Appliances on Freedom Drive is probably going to be your best bet as far as finding the part.
So you'll need a model number for that air
D&L,
conditioner?
They're on Freedom Drive.
Yes, you can look them up.
Yes.
They're all over the internet, and you'll be able to find them.
Okay, that's what I need to know. Just real fast, as far as replacing that thermostat, cleaning it off, maybe the inside of it, I saw a little video, but I couldn't figure out how to get that out of there.
Yeah, that's you'll have to keep searching and see if you can find something to take it apart. Sometimes you can find something with an exploded view, and it'll help you see kind of how it's put together.
Okay. Can I slip one more question in?
Sure.
I've been having my house painted for the last 10 years. I've been living in it. About every 3 years, I'm having to paint it, having it painted. I thought I'd go with a latex acrylic paint versus just regular latex paint. Am I going to benefit better from an acrylic latex versus just latex?
Well, it is better when it's 100% acrylic, and it really has more to do. I mean, the paint's really important, but the prep work is also important. So it depends on how old the substrate is. Is it like a hardboard siding, or what is it over? What are you painting?
It's just wood.
So if it's got moisture in the back of it, are you peeling, or is the paint popping, or is it just not looking good?
No, the latex paint that I'm having painted, it lasts about 3 years. Someone said go with an acrylic latex, and it has a stain blocker, weather resistant. It's going to hold up better. I just wanted to get your view on that.
Yeah, the more money that you spend on the paint, the longer it's going to last. But that is only if you put it over a substrate that is dry and prepared properly. So. It's that same thing. If you spend more money on the paint, you're probably going to get better longevity out of it.
Okay, well, let me get off the phone so y'all can get some more calls.
Thanks William. We appreciate you. Thank you. Okay, William's gone. Let's get Mike in here. Hey, Mike, how can we help?
Hey, how you doing? Love your show, guys.
Thanks.
All right, my question's on paint. We moved in this house 8 months, 10 months ago. They have painted the stair railing.
The handrail?
A handrail.
Yes.
And the paint's rubbing off.
Yeah, I've seen it before. So what you need to do is go back in there and paint it again with whatever color you want to use. And then after it cures and dries, you need to put a couple of coats of polyurethane over it.
Over the paint.
Yep, that'll give you some wear layers. What you'll use is a water-based, so you could put multiple coats on in a day.
Okay. Well,
you know,
the paint doesn't really feel dry. I mean, it's kind of clammy.
The paint is?
Yeah, on the railing?
Yeah.
Yeah, it picks up fingerprints real bad, and it's just not, you know, it's not dry to the touch, and it's been like months and months and months. So I was afraid it wouldn't. Drying because of the stain underneath it, but
it's possible that it had a reaction with the urethane underneath it. It shouldn't have. It could have also been. I don't know if it was new paint or older paint. Sometimes the easiest way is to take that thing off and sand it. I don't know how decorative it is if it's flat, but it's just two screws up underneath it. To be able to pop it off at each bracket, and then get it out in the air where you can see it, and wipe it down. You may need to wipe it down. There's some products out there that it's called No Sand, and you can wipe that entire rail down if it's ornamental where you can't sand it. You can get in there, wipe it down, follow the directions on the label, and it'll create a better surface for you to paint. So you could paint it one day, and then the next day you could get a couple of coats of polyurethane on it, and then the third day you can get it back up on the rail or up on the wall.
Okay. All right. Yeah, well, I'll have to do it in the house. The whole staircase is covered.
Oh, man.
It's all right.
All right, man. Sorry about that.
That's all right, man. I appreciate the info, guys.
All right. Good luck.
Bye, thanks.
Okay, Mike is gone. We are right up against a break again, so we've got Connie and Jeff holding. And so if you'll hold, this is a short break, and then we'll get you when we come back from the break. In the meanwhile, give us a call, 704-570-1110. We'll be right back after these messages. The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Glad you joined us. I'm Dave Doval.
I am Zeke Acosta with Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical.
And I'm Rick Hendrickson with Charlotte Comfort Systems.
And we're in the lightning round, so we're going to try to move through these calls and get everybody in. Let's go with Connie. Connie, welcome to the program. How can we help?
Hey, thanks for taking my question.
Glad to have it.
I actually have an opinion question about ventilation.
Sure.
I have been wanting to redo my house with hardy board for several years, and I've been noticing that the house in my neighborhood, whenever the hardy board is put on, they close up their ventilation ridges. at the points of the house.
Sure, up in the apex of the roof.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they've been closing those up and putting some faux louvers, making it look like there's a vent there.
Sure.
Now, my problem is fine because they have agreed to leave mine open. But I don't understand why they're doing that.
Well, I'll tell you, most of those houses that they're closing up probably have had the roofs replaced and they've added a ridge vent. And so they have a ridge vent and a soffit vent, and that's what the directions state clearly for a ridge vent. When you install a ridge vent, you close up the gable end vents and use only the vents at the lower portion of the attic. Otherwise, what happens is that the ridge vent will use the air. It'll take the least path of resistance, which if you have a gable end vent that's at the very top of the roof, it'll draw air from there into and out the ridge vent. And now you're only ventilating the top third of your attic instead of the whole attic. If you pull the air from the soffit vents, what'll happen is that air, the hot air rises, goes out the ridge vents, and it pulls a little bit cooler air in from the bottom, and you tend to ventilate the entire attic from end to end.
So it's better to close them off.
It is if you have a ridge vent and you have soffit vents. That's correct.
I do have a ridge vent and I do have soffit vents, but I've had them for years.
Yes.
The roof is like 2007 and the attic is just still blazing hot.
Right, and that's because you're not ventilating properly. It'll still be warm even when it's working properly, but it'll work better if you close off those vents in the attic on your gable ends. Close those off and just make sure that the soffit vents are open. All you do is go in the attic and flip the lights off, look around the perimeter. If you see daylight coming in, then you're in pretty good shape. And you should see it coming in at the eaves on all sides of the house. So if it's a hip roof, it would be four sides. If it's just a gable, it would be on two sides.
And if you want to cool that attic down, that solar attic fan would work great for you.
Right, but you don't use those in conjunction. You got to have one or the other.
No, you can actually use that with those. They'll assist those.
No, it's in the directions of the ridge vents, and that's been a big topic for a lot of years. But you can have one type of vent on the roof and one type of inlet, and if you follow those directions, they work better. I just know because I saw a bunch of videos where they did smoke tests on it and how they work. So if you have a hip roof, those solar vents work perfect. If you don't have ridge vents, then you could put the solar vents instead of the ridge vents, and they do a good job.
Right, I've already got the ridge vents.
Yeah, so you're in pretty good shape. Just have them close up your gable end vents, and if you want the decorative vents, you can do that on the gables, and you should be in good shape.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thanks, Connie. Appreciate the call. Okay, next up is Jeff. Hey, Jeff, how can we help?
Yes, I appreciate you taking my call. I have got a bonus room upstairs, and it has HVAC vents and supplies, but also at the very top of the stairs, this is a little bit different than anything I've ever seen. It's got a bath. It's 27 square feet. It's got a shower and a toilet. It has no HVAC vent in it at all. It's got an exhaust fan, and it gets extremely hot there. And I was wanting to run one in.
Sure. Go, you guys. What do you think is best for him?
We'd have to take a look and see if we can access it, but absolutely, it definitely needs one.
Yeah, it can be accessed.
Well, then, absolutely, we could definitely do that. If you want to give us a call, we could definitely fix that for you.
Okay. Well, I was wondering what size vent would run to it. What size? I typically do a lot of this myself.
Well, that really depends on the size of the room.
27 square feet.
Probably 4 by 10.
Yeah.
6-inch round.
Yeah, less.
That makes sense, Jeff?
A 4 by 10? Oh, okay. 4 by 10 vent. Okay.
Yep.
What size duct?
I'd probably use a 5 or a 6 just because, and then I'm going to taper it down on the end. Where it goes into the ductwork, there should be a damper. a control damper manual. So you can put a 5 or a 6 on that right there and just slowly shut it down a little bit. So that way you know you're going to get enough.
Okay. All right. Thank mm-hmm. you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Okay. And then we got one more. Let's get Bob in here. Hey, Bob. Welcome to the program. How can we help?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. Sure. I have a question, please, about a metal storage container that I have,
uh-huh.
and I'm interested in putting a coating on the roof, you know, to assist with waterproofing for the future, and also maybe provide some reflectivity.
Sure.
And I didn't know what if you could recommend a product for that, please, sir.
There's several out there. They make a bunch of coatings for mobile home roof coatings. So they have a white and they have a silver. You would have to see which is compatible with your particular situation. And then there's another product that we recommend that you have to order, and it's called Sani Tread. And that is that's going to be a longer lasting product. So if you're looking for longevity, that might be the one you want to go with. Costs a little bit more, but it's worth it. Once you do the prep work and apply the coatings the way that they recommend, you'll be good for many, many years after that, and you won't have to worry with it. So, and the preparation is everything.
Please,
it's Sani, SaniTred.
Okay.
And they're out All of, right. You can find them online at SaniTread.com. They're out of Wapakoneta, Ohio. They're right there in the middle of the state. So,
okay. So you'd recommend either that or just a, where would I get the other products?
The other products are sold at Home Depot has them in the roofing aisle, and you'll find a Cool Seal, and then you'll find a silver kind of a fibered roof coating.
So the Cool Seal is a pretty good product for that also.
It's a pretty good product. It's just something you're going to have to do every few years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't know if the Cool Seal helped with waterproofing or just more.
It does. It'll help, and it does both. So that was the idea, was that it's a white product that will help reflect the light, but it also will seal up the roof. But make sure you read the directions and follow what you need to do, because sometimes they recommend that you strip any other coatings off, and that can be a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Thank you so much. You've been a great help.
You're welcome. Good luck with that. All right, that clears up our calls. Geez, guys, we're almost at the end of the show. We just got another minute or so. Wanted to thank you both for coming in, and I wanted to go back to the ventilation just real quick. We talked about dryers. We talked about ventilation fans a little bit. Also, the exhaust fans for your cooking appliances. And that falls under y'all's moniker too, does it not?
It does, but you know, a lot of these remodelers or even homeowners go ahead and you know, upgrade their hood, and without looking at it, the new hoods pull out so much more air than the old ones did, and you can create some problems if it's more than. I think it's 400 CFM.
Yes.
You have to put in a fresh air vent coming into the room.
Exactly. So it's worth it. Need to make sure you're connected with your HVAC contractor when you get right. involved in that. And if you're choosing a hood fan over 399 CFM. So good advice. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about that the next time. We are going to be right up against our break. Rick, Zeke, thank you so much for coming in. We appreciate you, and we'll look forward to seeing you guys in about a month.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All right. We appreciate
Thank you.
All right.
And we'll see you next month.
All right. Sounds good. Well, thanks for joining us, folks. We hope that you'll remember that we believe the most important kind of home improvement is the one that makes your home a happier place to live. Don't forget to work on that. We'll see you next week.